This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The music news of the week, of course, comes to us from the Billboard Country Charts, where Beyonce is in the top spot, the first time a black woman has done that. Act 2, Cowboy Carter, is the album. It is very far, though, from the first time a black artist has shaped country music. That has been happening since the turn of the last century. And it leads me, in a way, to Alice Randall. She's a professor and a writer in residence at Vanderbilt University. More to the point, though, she has spent decades writing country music lyrics. She was the first black woman to co-write a chart-topping country hit, X's and O's, in 1994, if you remember that one. And in her new book, My Black Country, she writes about her own career in country music, as well as the artists who came before and after her. Alice Randall, thanks for coming on the program.
It's wonderful to be here.
You spend no small part of this book defining black country, capital B, capital C. Give us the thumbnail, would you?
Well, the equation is Celtic, that's English, Irish, Scottish ballad forms, plus African influences, plus evangelical Christianity equals country music. Don't have the black influences, and you probably got folk music. Don't have the evangelical Christianity, and you may have blues.
I love the formulaic application to something that is so visceral, right? It's so stirring and internal.
It is. It's emotional and there are themes, the big themes of country as far as I see it. Life is hard. Yeah. God is real. The road, family, and liquor are significant compensations, and the past is better than the present.
I'm going to throw one more at you, and I want to see what you say. Race.
The racial fault line in country is all around that theme of the past is better than the present. In much of white country, the past that is better than the present is a mythologized Dixie. In much of black country, the past that is better than the present is a time in childhood where your parents were able, against all odds, to protect you, or a lost Africa before colonization that's manifest by nature.
Well, so let's go back in time, not quite that far, but back in your time anyway. It struck me as I was reading this book, you were like 23, 24 years old, and you're up and decide to move to Nashville and be a black country songwriter. How did you come to that decision?
Well, I decided to become a black country songwriter and publisher.
I was
founding Midsummer Music because I was born in Detroit City in 1959, as the same year as Motown Records. And my father did not read books to me. He told me stories. And one of the stories he told me over and over was of the founding of Anna Records, that Berry Gordy's sisters had founded a year before Motown. So he talked to me about women being song publishers and record company executives and songwriters. And I heard those stories and followed in Anna's footsteps.
So as you set about becoming obviously a publisher, but also a black country songwriter, how'd you go about that? You just plop yourself down one day and start writing music?
Well, I don't actually write music. I write very simple melodies.
That's a very good point. Yes, you talk about
and that. No, and I teasingly say that my melodies are so simple that when the ones I come up with, if I can sing them, the whole world can sing them. And so it goes well for having hits sometimes. But I came to Nashville via Harvard and Washington, D.C. So I sort of took the skills that I learned analyzing the Harlem Renaissance poets and Shakespeare and Jane Austen, and I applied them to country lyrics. I love British metaphysical poetry and American metaphysical poetry, and it was alive and hiding in country and Western music, and I found it.
Now you have to say more about that. You can't just dabble in that and say, I found it. What's the story?
Well, these lyrics, these really complicated lyrics, such as drop, kick me, Jesus, through the goalpost of life, that's an extended metaphysical conceit. And you know what? On Beyonce's new album, Cowboy Carter, Bodyguard is another one of those extended, complex metaphors that we see all through country.
Since you mentioned her and her new album, which is blowing up rightly because it's kind of amazing, do you feel a full circleness at all to what has become a not small part of your life's work?
Absolutely. I feel actually a Juneteenth, which is good news at long last.
Yeah.
And because I will be 65 May 4th, and I have been in country and Western music for 41 years professionally. When I arrived here in 1983, Charlie Pride had been to the number one spot 29 times. It was about to go up for another time. So many black men have gotten to the number one spot, I can't remember all their names. But literally not one black woman performer had gotten there. There's a phrase I want to say, cultural redlining. Black women have been culturally redlined out of that. They had not been given the economic resources to make the campaign to get there. And Beyoncé eclipsed all of that. And I can retire now with a joy that all three of the things I wanted to see, they got done. One came in right at the last moment, wouldn't have gotten there without Queen Bee.
One more thing, and then I'll let you go, because we could go on this book all day because it is so fascinating. And you can, you don't need me to tell you this, but you can flat write. Let me tell you that. You start the book with an anecdote about being in a studio. And I'm sorry, I don't remember what city it's in, and hearing
Nashville.
It was at Nashville. Okay, I'm sorry, I blew that one. Hearing a song of yours being performed, and it was by a young woman named Adia Victoria, a young black woman, and you said it is the first time, was the first time, that you had seen somebody who looks like you sing one of your songs the way it ought to be sung. And I wonder if you can tell us about that moment.
I cried. I cried. Just thinking back on it right now almost makes me cry again. It changed the whole beginning of my book because I knew I had to start with that moment. Over the years, I've been honored, and I tell this story, Glenn Campbell, Mo Bandy, Radney Foster, Trisha Yearwood, so many extraordinary stars had sung my songs. But no one had ever looked like me had sung one of my songs. And more significantly, listeners thought all the heroes and sheroes in my songs were white because the singers were white. And some of those heroes and sheroes, I had imagined them, all of them I had imagined as black. And I was willing and embraced people projecting their identities onto them, but I resisted the identities I had originally imagined and created being erased. And Adia Victoria added the color back to that cowboy. And 20 to 30% of all cowboys in the American West were black and brown, and they deserve to be remembered. And if we don't remember them, we cannot properly encounter Cowboy Carter.
Alice Randall writes books and songs. Her most recent book, it's a memoir, is called My Black Country, Journey Through Country Music's Black Past, Present, and Future. Ms. Randall, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thank you.